And welcome to a marvelous Monday edition of Let's Talk.
Well, just tell the truth. Yeah, marvelous Monday. There we go. We believe in truth, ladies and gentlemen, all right? So get out there and tell the truth.
How about that weather, huh?
Yeah, the weather's well for today.
How about that weather?
One more warm day.
How about that weather?
And then rain tomorrow, apparently, and then autumn returns. Maybe autumn shows up for the first time. It's going to be a little on the chilly side. I guess starting Wednesday and so on. So this is Penn State homecoming week. So it's going to be not cold, but it's going to be cool compared to like today. It's going to be cool. So prepare for that. And again, we'll talk with Joe Bastardi later on next hour.
Oh, yeah.
Did the little guy do something? Is that what happened?
Well, so we had a but we had a very adventurous weekend. It was his final camp out as a Cub Scout.
There we go.
And so apparently, a group of them got together, and because it is the final camp out, said to themselves, "Selves, we got to make some memories here and try to pull an all-nighter."
Oh, no.
I'm getting various accounts of how successful that actually was,
but
they definitely stayed up very, very late. And we had a very busy day scheduled on Sunday, so we got up pretty early, and we were on the move pretty much all day Sunday. So this was sleep-in day for the Dear Mad Turtles. So we were scrambling. His mom ended up driving him to school, and so we were just we were in frantic mode. So we got out of the house a little later than intended, and I will say traffic is, on this end of town, it always gets crazy around 8 o'clock. I mean, it's not abnormal. But even by the usual busy standards, this was an unusually busy Monday morning.
All right.
And, of course, as just seems to always be the case, the man, when you're in a hurry, red light. Red light, red light. I mean, I only have three red lights. Every one, and I had to sit through the two turns because of the traffic. So, my apologies. I knew it was going to be tight, and I was right.
Actually, I hit two of those red lights because we sort of come the same direction.
Yeah, it just, what are you going to do?
Yes, what's up with the lights this morning, all right?
Well, and I know they're there. I mean,
because there's the one red light, and you have to make a left-hand turn. So it finally turns green. I make the left-hand turn, and then I'm thinking, okay, I'm going all the way to the studio. And the next light turns red. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not supposed to happen. Somebody changed the programming on those lights? Oh, for goodness sake.
Just crazy. Just crazy, I tell you.
One other quick weather note. Now, again, there are so many weather predictions out there. I'll have to ask Joe this when he joins us next hour. But I caught something over the weekend. You know, you got these different agencies, and they have predictions, and they put up maps and all this sort of thing. So I came across this one that claims, you know, to know what they're talking about. How much snow are we going to get this winter? Now, first off, that's crazy because, of course, nobody knows. But, hey, they make predictions. And according to this one outlet, here where we're sitting, okay, Center County, here, it says here we could probably get around 39 inches of snow this winter. All right, so that's a shade over a yard using the old English measurements.
Aha!
39 inches of snow, according to these people. Now, in my old job, I worked did a lot of driving, central and northern PA, a lot of great memories. My friends up in Bradford, all right, that's up in McKean County by the New York border. Bradford, pretty much seemingly known as the ice box of Pennsylvania. And, yeah, it can get pretty cold up there, that's for sure. According to these people, Bradford, again, 39 inches for us. According to these people, Bradford's going to have 77 inches of snow. Now, I'm assuming lake effect, you know, Lake Erie, lake effect snow. But, I mean, that's a big difference between 39 and 77. Like, whoa. I had to look at it twice. Like, really? Yeah, 39 and 77, according to those people. Yeah, we'll see what's right. All right. Folks, I think we all, well, I won't say we all. I think a lot of folks need a reality check. Okay? We need a reality check on what is really bad news and what is really good news. All right? Yes, later on we'll be talking about some things, okay, obviously. But we need a reality check, okay? Let's start with the bad news, okay? The bad news, all right, one man's opinion, okay? The bad news is not what happened in Los Angeles Saturday. That is not the bad news, okay? What's the bad news? The bad news is what happened in Woodward early yesterday morning. All right, Penns Valley, that's where I live, out my way. The very historic Woodward Inn essentially destroyed by a fire early yesterday morning. And for East Penns Valley, this is pretty devastating. It really is. The Woodward Inn goes back to 1814, over 200 years old. It started as an inn, like a stagecoach. Stagecoaches, I guess, would stop there, and it was a tavern and all that sort of thing. Some new owners just bought the place, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I guess. And the inn has not been open, so nobody was there. All right, there's some good news. Nobody was there early yesterday morning when somehow around 2 a.m. maybe a fire started. And maybe rather amazingly, a neighbor saw flames at 2:30 yesterday morning, called it in. Fire companies from all directions showed up. If you grab a map, Woodward's not far from Union County. So Union County fire trucks came over. All of Penns Valley's was there. The Alphas showed up. I mean, Port Matilda was there. Goodness, if you go grab a map and find the distance from Port Matilda to Woodward, that's a significant distance. They were there. Tons and tons. The problem is, by the time a lot of them showed up, damage had already been done. So, fire marshal, I'm sure today, checking things out. Yesterday, checking things out. Again, the new owners were refurbishing the place. It was not open. Hasn't been open for a while. And, of course, the question now is, okay, after this, I assume they have insurance. What do you do? I mean, this is really devastating for the Woodward area. That is true bad news. All right, that's bad news. All right, how about good news? Well, I did watch the two men's hockey games Friday and Saturday night. That was pretty cool. All right. Thank you, NHL Network, for having a YouTube channel. That's how I was able to watch it, on the YouTube channel. And take out the second period and... yeah, those guys are pretty darn perfect. They had a really good weekend. We will save that for later on in just a little bit, all right? All right, now that's good news. Okay, folks, that's two games. That's it, two games. You want real good news? All right, here's real good news. Yesterday, I was informed that, God willing, I'm going to be a grandfather again.
Hey, hey, hey!
We are excited.
Woo-hoo!
At our house. My daughter Allison, her husband Brennan, are expecting their first, probably May, June of next year.
Very cool. Congrats.
This would be, thanks. This would be grandkid number three, and we are really excited. I mean, yesterday I'm doing stuff, I'm working away. She, you know, does the old FaceTime dig. Dad, I have bad news and good news.
Oh, boy.
What? What is this? The bad news, well, the bad news is not bad at all. It's like, the good news is I'm pregnant. Like, oh! The rest of the day floated by yesterday.
I would think.
All right? Now, granted, the Steelers didn't play yesterday, so I didn't have to worry about them.
Yay.
I'm not an Eagles fan, sorry. And, yes, they blew it yesterday, but we'll save that,
yeah,
all right, for a little later on. The Buffalo Bills blew it last night, so
yeah.
No more undefeated teams in the NFL. How about that? 5 weeks, and everybody has a loss. That's kind of wild. Again, we'll save that for later on. Bad news, good news. Came across this story recently. This is from, Oh, sugar. Where'd it go? This is from where? This is from, oh, what's the outlet? Oh, I missed it. But the headline on here is well, this should be required. Here it is. It's from Time Magazine. Headline, How Being a Grandparent Can Improve Your Health.
Hey.
It's an interesting story. Now, some of it is, okay, you're sort of chasing the little ones around. All right, so there's exercise, and there's other things. I think, again, the headline, How Being a Grandparent Can Improve Your Health. I think this should be required reading for all college students. Like, what? This should be required reading for all college students. Because, again, for whatever reason, over the last 12 to 15 years, here in our country at least, we're having fewer kids. And that's not necessarily a good thing. All right? For some reason, the younger generation, they don't have the importance on starting a family that we older types have had. And so, yeah, when I got the word yesterday, I'm like, yeah, baby, woohoo! I've got another story here about ideal family size. All right, somebody did a survey, you know, like, what's the ideal size of a family? And for, what would you call it, replacement purposes? All right, that sounds weird. For things like, you know, future workforce, Social Security, all that sort of stuff, the number is supposed to be, I think, 2.2 kids per family. I know, how do you have 0.2 of a kid? Whatever. 2.2. This survey says the ideal family size, I think, is about 2.1. Here, that we're talking about here in our country. Maybe not, you know, not other places. Here. The survey says the ideal family size is like 2.1. The problem is the actual numbers right now are about 1.6. And so that's why schools like Penn State and school districts are looking to the future saying, we've got fewer kids. That's a problem. Yes, it is. And for those of us going on Social Security, hello, and others that are close, you know, we're looking at the Social Security system allegedly going broke in about, I think, 8 years. All right. And the main reason for that is we will have fewer people working and more people who are retired. All right. So that's not a good thing. So, required reading for college students. How being a grandparent can improve your health. Well, to be a grandparent, of course, the first thing you have to do is become a parent. Ding, ding, ding.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Little common sense there. Just a thought. Do we got a caller there? Just something to think about here on a Thursday morning. All right. Good news and good news. All right, let's take a call.
All right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, gentlemen. Another great day in America.
Sure.
Oh, yes, it is.
You know why it's another great day in America?
Oh, I can't wait.
Can you guess?
I can't wait.
Because the federal government is still closed down. And life goes on. Okay. Every day is going to be like Sunday because we don't need them. Has your life gotten worse? Since we're saving all these hundreds of billions of dollars with them closed down.
Well, yes, actually.
Thank
the
Lord.
Not having anything to do with this, but yeah.
Uh-oh.
Pretty miserable.
Well,
actually, but.
No. I'm not talking about that because we can all, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm saying in general, politically, that's a good thing. And, you know, here's where AI can come in. Why don't we make these traffic lights smart? I know the people that design them are pretty stupid. And the politicians and the bureaucrats that run them are very smart.
Okay.
So why don't we make it? And by the way, you know, Trump is saying we need to lower interest rates. You know, money's not available. You know, a normal business could go out and borrow money and then pay it back. But it's not available because the Biden administration stuck up so much money and gave it away to everyone for free, except people that were actually productive, that there's nothing available. That's why we're $38 trillion in debt. So, great day. I just want to say great day in America. And why aren't they having kids? Well, let's analyze this, okay? I have three girls.
Briefly, go
ahead. I didn't start having children until I was 44, 45. Well, why is that?
Wow.
Because we've brainwashed women into believing that it's better to sit behind a desk instead of taking care of the most important thing, which is your child. I grew up with my mom and grandmom home because they understood that the most important thing is to raise your kid. Because people can't do that anymore. They can't afford it. And it was purposely done. So now you send your little child to the brainwashing institutions, whether they're political, whether they're religious, whether they're government. You're sending them to someone to feed their head with garbage. And one more thing. Why would a little boy at 18 or 19 want to marry someone who can't cook, who can't clean, who's going to tell them how bad they are because they're a male and they're producing or not producing enough? You're working too hard. You're not working too hard. I mean, let's face it. Women are unhappy because they're not doing what they were meant to do. And I'm not going to get into that. And you want a guy to marry someone and risk his entire fortune on then eventually getting divorced, which you're going to be divorced. 70-80% of America is, because we can't do anything right the first time. Now, these facts are so hard to swallow. Like, one more thing, and thank God for Trump. I can't wait to see Brennan, who flew the terrorist in. It's now available. It was declassified. The ones that flew, he flew 12 of them in that flew planes into buildings. Brennan, the former CIA agent, I can't wait to see him perp walk. But it's a great day in America. Hopefully the federal government is still... Oh, by the way, God bless DEI agents. You know, well, I call them DEI agents. Other people call them ICE. Thank God for them. And let's have a day to salute them. Do you think so, guys? What do you think?
Oh, boy.
I give you a lot to think about.
It is an open
great
line
day in America.
Yeah, great day.
Great day.
Okay.
Great day in America.
Thanks.
Right.
Thanks.
The sun is shining.
Thanks for your call. All right. Thanks for your call. Again,
how about that weather?
If you're a new listener, again, when we say open line program, we're not kidding. All right. Now, if you've got something in the other direction, 814-954-7266. Although we're going to take a break here in a couple of minutes. Here's something to watch this week. Now, this could be interesting, all right? This is Nobel Prize Week, all right? The Nobel folks over in Europe, this is when they hand out their distinguished prizes. And by the way, there's money. It's like $1 million, whatever, attached to those prizes. They have started their announcements. Now, keep in mind, they're 5 hours, 6 hours ahead of us or whatever it is. This morning, the Nobel Prize in Medicine, given to Mary Brunkow, Fred Ramsdell, and Shimon Sakaguchi. I guess they worked together on this. They were awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for research that shows how the body regulates its immune responses. All right, I'll ring the bell for that one. That's important, all right? How's your immune system working? Why sometimes doesn't it work so well and so on? So that's some really good research there. So congratulations to those winners. Now, this week it'll be, what, the Nobel Prize in, I don't know, physics, the Nobel Prize in, I don't know, mathematics, the Nobel Prize in literature, and yes, the Nobel Peace Prize is supposed to be announced on Friday. Now, I've always been critical, frankly, Scott here, of the Peace Prize because I think it's a joke. All right, how many people in the past have gotten the Peace Prize and it's like, why did that person get a prize? All right, it's like, really? I know there's Barack Obama fans out there. He got the Nobel Peace Prize before he even became president. And it's like, why? He didn't do anything. Now, God forbid if they announce the Nobel Peace Prize Friday and they give it to Donald Trump. Is that possible? And folks, Scott here, I'm no Trump fan, but we've got this possible maybe peace deal between Israel, Gaza, and Hamas and all. This may actually happen. Peace may actually be occurring in the Middle East. If that's true, and primarily I've seen multiple stories, yeah, this is pretty much Trump's doing. Yeah, this has got his fingerprints all over it. If that's true and this happens, I mean, for goodness sakes, you can't give the prize to anybody else. It would have to be him, except some of you would be apoplectic if that occurred. So while we go into a break here, we're going to warn local hospitals, clinics, and so on.
Oh, boy.
You better watch out on Friday, because if they actually announce Donald Trump as the Nobel Peace Prize winner, there's going to be a rather significant increase in heart attacks on Friday. Yes, I say that half jokingly, but think about it. All right? Who's deserving of this prize? If this Israel deal is half of what they claim it's going to be, there's only one person that can get this prize. And I realize some of you are just like choking on your coffee right now. But think about it. Think about it. Now, if you agree with me the Peace Prize is a joke, yeah, you probably all do now. Yeah, it's a joke. Okay, whatever. But think, watch it this week. Just watch it this week. This could be interesting. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. Yeah, there was a little bit of sports over the weekend. Just a little. And then later on, we'll have some open time. I know I've got some views. I know my friend here has some views. I know some of you have some views. I know on social media, it's been exploding for the last not quite 48 hours. All right, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We're going to have some fun. You define fun. We'll be back with more after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? Mm-mm-mm, so good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese with you. And, yeah, we'll have some open phone time coming up. We'll also be checking in with Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, in the final segment of our Monday program. Coming off, a weekend. Penn State football team. Did you hear about this?
No.
They played UCLA. UCLA was 0-4 on the season. Disastrous offensive and defensive lines. So bad that they fired their head coach. They fired their coordinators. They brought in a whole new staff just to try to salvage something out of the season. Penn State, you knew was going to be dialed in. They know their season's at stake coming off the loss to Oregon. They got to make a statement. And they come out and fall behind 27-7 at halftime. And it's like, oh, man, they had to rally to pull that out. How embarrassing to need to get a last-second score. They didn't get the last-second score is the thing. They lost the game 42-37. To UCLA. We'll get into it as the program unfolds.
Okay.
Quite likely, the single worst loss in program history. And this is a long running program. They've had some devastating losses. I don't think there's any that are as bad as what Saturday's game ended up being. Penn State losing to previously winless UCLA, and for all practical purposes, ending Penn State's quest for a national title here in 2025. Penn State not ranked in the AP rankings, inexplicably. And I would love to get the coaches that put Penn State in their poll. I would love to get some interviews because they are ranked 22nd in the coaches poll. They are 3-2 with zero wins over Power Four conference teams. How would you possibly have this team in the top 25 at this stage? Now, could they earn their way back in at some point? Sure. But right now, you're telling me that is one of the top 25 teams based on resume? I don't think so. But for some reason, the coaches poll has them ranked 22nd in the country. AP said no. Oh, no. We've seen enough. Not a ranked team. Penn State men's hockey, sweeping Arizona State in the season opening series in Tempe over the weekend. In the second game Saturday night, the Nittany Lions got the winning goal from freshman Gavin McKenna, the projected number one overall pick in next year's NHL draft, scored his first collegiate goal with 1:53 remaining in the third period to put Penn State up 3-2, and Dane Dowiak added an empty netter to set your final at 4-2 on Saturday night. The Nittany Lions were down 2-0 going into the third period, before Nick Chen DeGraves and J.J. Wybush scored Penn State goals to tie the game before the one-timer. And was it a one-timer?
Oh, man.
From McKenna. That is what you were hoping we were getting. If you're a Penn State fan, that shot right there.
Ooh.
Good Lord.
It was a laser beam.
That
wow.
Put the Nittany Lions up for good. Penn State also winning Friday's game 6-3. In Friday's win, the Nittany Lions outscored the Sun Devils, see if this sounds familiar, 4-0 in the third period. Matt DeMarsico scored the hat trick in the third period alone.
Yes.
Charlie Serrato added 5 points. Aiden Fink had a goal and 2 assists in the Friday game. If you're keeping track, and we are, that would be Penn State outscoring Arizona State 8-0 in the third periods of the two games to pull off back-to-back come-from-behind wins over a ranked opponent to start the season. Penn State's home opener is set for Thursday night against Clarkson at a 6:30 face-off. Rumor has it Pegula Ice Arena will not be empty for that game on Thursday night. I've been tipped off that they are expecting that there's going to be some folks in the seats on Thursday night's home opener.
Okay, serious question.
Yeah.
That game's sold out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, shoot. In fact, their next X number of games are probably sold
this
out,
season,
aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, because I'd love to go see these guys.
Penn State women's volleyball team got by Maryland in a 5-set victory in College Park yesterday. The Nittany Lions winning 25-16, 25-20, 19-25, 23-25, and then got the big 15-5 win in the decisive fifth set. Kennedy Martin with 21 kills and 11 digs. She also had four aces. Jillian Grimes had 14 digs and three aces. The Nittany Lions now 8-6 on the season, 2-2 in Big Ten matches. On Friday night at Rec Hall, Penn State was swept by top-ranked Nebraska 25-6. 25-15 and 25-13. The top-ranked Cornhuskers remain undefeated on the season. Kennedy Martin had 11 kills to lead Penn State in Friday night's match. The Penn State women's hockey team completing a two-game sweep at Vermont with a 5-3 win Saturday. In the second victory, five different players scored goals for the Nittany Lions. Those players are Taylor Lum, Micah Keller, Tessa Janicki, Maddie Christian, and Lee Stecker. Penn State defeated Vermont on Friday night 3-1. Grace Outwater, Maddie Christian, and Tessa Janicki scored the Penn State goals in that one. Katie Deesa made 10 saves in net for the Nittany Lions. Penn State now 4-0 on the season. That's what we call a good start.
Yes.
To the year.
Very good.
Penn State men's soccer team dethroning King's College 7-1 yesterday evening. See what I did
That's
there?
That's a great. Yeah,
King's
very
College.
Nice.
Should have been a headline writer. Ben Madure scored the hat trick to lead the Nittany Lions, with Van Danielson scoring a pair of goals. Christian Dion and Aziza Sebo also scored for Penn State. The Nittany Lions are now 5-4-2 on the season. The Penn State women's soccer team on Friday beating Rutgers 2-1 at Yurak Field in Piscataway. Nittany Lions withstanding some early pressure by Rutgers. Aubrey Culpa scored one of the Penn State goals, and the Nittany Lions, again, get the road victory on Saturday afternoon, and Penn State improves now to 7-4-2 on the year, 3-2-1 in Big Ten games. Also, over the weekend, the Penn State field hockey team shut out by Ohio State yesterday 2-0. That game was scoreless at halftime, but the Buckeyes tallied goals in each of the third and fourth quarters to pick up the victory. Penn State also falling at Michigan Friday 2-1. Aubrey Semler had the Penn State goal in that one. The Nittany Lions now 5-6 on the season and falling to 1-3 now in Big Ten games this year. Also Friday, the Penn State women's cross country team finished as the runner-up, and the men placed sixth at the Paul Short Run hosted by Lehigh. There were 40 teams in each of those races. Villanova edging Penn State's women by 5 points for the title. Ada Rand was 15th to lead Penn State individually, with Claire Daniels 17th, and Charlotte Kostich finishing 18th. Georgetown won the men's race. The Nittany Lions were led by Nick Sloff's 14th place finish and Brian DeCola's 19th place finish. Penn State women's tennis team wrapping up 3 days of play at the Martha Thorne Invitational yesterday. Penn State with mixed results throughout the event. Penn State did get the first collegiate win from Ansley Cox, as she was able to pick up a victory yesterday in singles play. Also, The Penn State men's tennis team wrapping up play at the Holmes-Catherall Memorial Invitational. The Nittany Lions hosting that event at the Sardi Tennis Center with David Lindsay highlighting Penn State's play. Lindsay won both of his singles matches and teamed with Raya Hattori to win both doubles matches as well. Penn State will be competing in the ITA Northeast Regional Championships October 16th through the 21st at Princeton. On Friday night, the State College football team improving to 6-1 on the season with a 36-21 win at Cedar Cliff. Deontay Sheffy ran for 148 yards and 3 touchdowns for the Little Lions. Belfont got a big win at Phillipsburg Osceola, 24-15. Kaven Smith, Kirk rushed for 22 carries 99 yards and a touchdown to lead the Red Raiders. Bald Eagle area losing a defensive battle to Clearfield 12-6, and Penns Valley lost a heartbreaker to Central 26-25. The Dragons rallied from an 11-point deficit to pull out that victory.
Controversy. I'll save that for later.
I saw. A couple of Penn State players are on the Team USA men's volleyball roster for the squad that will be competing today through Sunday in Puerto Rico at the Norseca Men's Final Six Seniors. Ryan Merck and Owen Rose are the Nittany Lions that will be competing for Team USA. The U.S. has won the event each of the last two times. The event features round-robin play today through Friday, and then the semifinals will be on Saturday and the championship match on Sunday. The United States will open up against Mexico at 6 o'clock this evening. The Penn State men's golf team is competing at the Colin Brown Collegiate in Kentucky today and tomorrow. That play will get underway in 21 minutes or so from now. The Philadelphia Eagles blew a 17-3 fourth quarter lead and lost to the Broncos 21-17 yesterday. Bo Nix leading the Denver comeback. He completed 9 of 10 passes in that fourth quarter. I think it's fair to say that Eagles fans are not happy. They weren't happy with their team. They weren't happy with the officials. They're just unhappy, and some of them were unhappy to begin with because some of them happened to be Penn State fans and Phillies fans, and it was just that kind of a weekend. Other action from yesterday, the early game over in London, the Vikings beat the Browns 21-17.
Thank you.
Last night, the other end of the daily spectrum, it was the Patriots with a last-second field goal beating the Buffalo Bills 23-20. Other action from yesterday. The Colts routed the Raiders 40-6. It was the Saints over the Giants 26-14. The Cowboys easily downing the Jets 37-22. The Jets remain winless. The Dolphins blew a fourth quarter lead and fell to the Panthers 27-24. The Baltimore Ravens lost to the Houston Texans 44-10 yesterday. Lamar Jackson or not, that is, ouch, 44-10. The Titans edged the Cardinals 22-21. It was the Buccaneers. They're looking pretty good. 4-1 now after a 38-35 win over the Seahawks as they get the game-winning field goal on the final play. The Lions also handled the Bengals 37-24, and the Commanders surprised the Chargers 27-10. And, yeah, the NFL is, it's just wild. You never know one day to the next. The Chiefs will be at the Jaguars tonight. We will have live coverage of that game starting at 7:30 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And just in case you were wondering, and, you know, I was, your Pittsburgh Steelers, who were off this week, they were idle, just standing around, well, probably sitting around watching the other games, and... Oh, look at that. The Ravens lost. hey, look at that. The Bengals lost. Oh, my. The Browns lost. So the Steelers pick up a half game on all of those teams while sitting idly by. And so if you look at these standings now, there is one team in the AFC North that has a winning record.
Hmm.
That would be your 3-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody else now is sub 500. The Bengals are 2-3, and both the Ravens and the Browns are sitting at 1-4 on the season.
I mean, the Bengals are 2-3, but they've lost three straight, and they're going down like the Titanic.
Yeah, without Joe Burrow, is it just me, or does it look like that offense isn't quite the same? Yeah, the Steelers are suddenly in good position here. Now, we'll see. A couple of important weeks coming up for the Steelers as they will have intra-divisional games. And if they can win these next two games, look out, baby. Because the Steelers then get to 5-1. They will be at least two games clear of everybody else in the division. And then I think, you know, it's going to start to seem real that they may be in contention to win the division. The division, albeit, shaping up to not be perhaps the strongest in all of the NFL this particular season. Just, you know, a chance that that's the case. By the way, the Eagles are still atop the NFC East, despite the Eagles' loss yesterday. They're still 4-1. Game up on the 3-2 Commanders. The Cowboys, ugh, they're 2-2. And the Giants are the Giants. They are 1-4 on the season. They're not looking good.
Eagles, I'm not an Eagles fan, but this reminds me of 2 years ago. Remember 2 years ago, the Eagles started undefeated, and then they got to November and just collapsed. I'm getting that vibe with this Eagles team. Like, how did they blow that game yesterday?
Well, perhaps, outside looking in, and full disclosure, I did not see the game. We had a very busy weekend. I actually saw none of the sports.
I saw the end of the game.
I listened to the Penn State football game. I listened to the very end of the Friday night hockey game, and I listened to the third period, which was the right period to listen to, of the Saturday night hockey game, and I listened to a little bit of the football action and baseball action. I saw none of the sports over the weekend, so it was a pure listening experience,
right,
and then checking the phone on baseball and other events. But, the Eagles, that fourth quarter is concerning, but you have Saquon Barkley. Perhaps handing the ball off to him more than six times in a football game, especially in the fourth quarter when you have a two-touchdown lead. You have a very good offensive line, and you have Saquon Barkley. How does he only touch the ball? Well, carry the ball, not touch the ball. He did have a beautiful touchdown pass reception.
Yes.
But six carries for Saquon Barkley when you have, especially when you have, I mean, regardless, but when you have a two-touchdown lead, how is he not getting the ball at least six times in the fourth quarter alone?
I don't know.
That's just weird. A lot of weird stuff the weekend. Philadelphia Phillies blew a 3-0 lead. Are you seeing a theme here?
Yeah.
At least Penn State didn't blow a lead, did they now? Phillies blew a 3-0 lead and lost to the Dodgers Saturday, 5-3. Teoscar Hernandez belted a 3-run homer in the top of the seventh to put the Dodgers ahead for good. Shohei Ohtani got the win in his postseason pitching debut. Ohtani struck out 9 in 6 innings of work. JT Realmuto had given the Phillies the early lead with a 2-run triple in the second, and then he scored on a Harrison Bader sacrifice fly, but the Dodgers started their comeback with Kiki Hernandez doubling in 2 runs. We just got to get rid of the Hernandezes in that Dodgers lineup, and everything would be just fine for the Phillies. Philadelphia will host Game 2 of the Best of 5 Divisional Series tonight, with first pitch set for 6:08. 08, of course. The Brewers lead the Cubs 1-0 in the other National League Divisional Series. The Brewers winning 9-3 on Saturday. Milwaukee will host Game 2 tonight at 9:08. In the American League, hey, how about those Toronto Blue Jays, ladies and gentlemen?
There we go.
Let's hear it for the Jays. They have a 2-0 lead over the New York Yankees after a 13-7 rout in Game 2 yesterday. Ah, a little bit of joy in the sports weekend. Thank you, Toronto. The Mariners and Tigers are now even at a game apiece after Seattle's 3-2 win yesterday. Game 3 in both of those American League series will be tomorrow, with Detroit and New York hosting those games. And that is a little check of the weekend in sports.
All right, we got to take a break. That was so much rough schedule here. We got open line time. We had somebody trying to call in during the segment. Give us a couple minutes. Wait for the break.
Oh, you can wait.
All right, and then we'll let you in. Lots to talk about. Oh, yes, lots to talk about. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com, click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. Happy Valley Comic Con.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Let's talk here on a Monday morning. It feels like a Monday. Phone line is open at 814-954-7266. Here in the Valley of Happiness.
Happiness. Yeah.
Remember? That's our nickname, Happy, Happy Valley.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
Where do I want to start? I would like to start in Hawaii and take a couple of weeks off and regroup and refresh, enjoy some tropical drinks down by the ocean. That's where I'd like to start. But okay, let's talk hockey.
Okay.
I mean, come on, kids.
All right.
Pretty spectacular stuff. If you're scripting the Gavin McKetta era, that is how you would script the start. Pretty special stuff. The Nittany Lions, it's a long season, but man, do they have a ton of talent. And it's not just McKenna. But what was really cool was, I mean, McKenna was, as to be expected, was harassed, I think we could safely say, by the Arizona State fans from start to finish of the series, which, again, you're the most prominent college hockey player in the history of the sport. So they're well aware of that out there, and they've got a very good team, by the way. Arizona State does. But Penn State down after two periods in each of the two games, Friday and Saturday night, and in each game they respond. And if you haven't seen it, if you get a chance to YouTube or just Google the Gavin McKenna game winner, I mean, that is just wow. I mean, it's a beautiful pass, but man, does he execute it. I mean, in the blink of an eye, that thing gets exactly where it needs to be. There's a little opening over the right shoulder, and boom, it's there. It was impressive. And I don't think that start is going to do anything to quell the very high expectations surrounding Guy Gadowski's team this season, to say nothing of the women's hockey team, which goes up to Vermont and picks up a couple of really good road victories there. And now that team is off to a 4-0 start. We call, during hockey season, we call Happy Valley Hockey Valley, and it's looking like that may be very accurate for this particular hockey season. And let me remind you, wrestling season is just over, a month away, baby.
Okay.
Let's get that season going as well.
Okay, yeah. Let me go backwards a little bit. What?
Penn State football beat you to the punch. They're already going backwards, Gazy.
Hold that thought. Yes, it was a wild weekend in so many different ways.
Yes, it was.
Social media being social media. I mean, just lit up, even before the football game was over Saturday. Uh-huh. This is Scott. I'm an ex-Twitter guy. All right. I like ex-Twitter. I'm sorry. I just call it ex-Twitter, not just X. And I don't think this was from an official Penn State wrestling outlet, you know, like the team or something. I think this is from a fan's outlet that it had Penn State wrestling on it. But they had a post yesterday. Great news for PSU alumni and fans. There is something to look forward to. And then it talks about the upcoming wrestling season. I'm thinking, okay, boy, boy, folks are getting out the long knives already. Holy mackerel. Now, with hockey, can I be Debbie Downer? I'm going to be Debbie Downer because, frankly, over the last 2 days, a lot of you have been Debbie Downers, haven't you? Now, you said you listened to the hockey games because you were busy doing other things. Is that right? You were listening.
Correct.
Okay.
We were camping.
I watched them. All right, because I was at home.
Yeah.
I watched them. Thank you, NHL Network, for having a free YouTube channel, so I was able to watch both games. So that was kind of cool. Yes, that Gavin McKenna goal at the end of Saturday night's game, I mean, laser beam, it was incredible. I mean, he's standing there, he's waiting for the pass, he knows it's coming, and he gets the pass, and it's just all one motion. Boom! And the poor Arizona State goaltender, he didn't have a prayer. I mean, I don't think the guy flinched. The guy didn't even flinch. Like, whoop! In the goal, everybody starts celebrating. It was an incredible shot. So I had a chance. Again, McKenna is I'm sure, a fine young man. He's only 17 years old, which I did not realize this. I'm not that much of a fan. He doesn't turn 18 until sometime in December. So he is still very much a kid, if you will. And watching him play, very unselfish play over the weekend. There were tons of times where he could have taken a shot. He passes it off to a teammate. And I saw that, and I thought, okay, that's good, all right? Because I could, you know, with all the hype and all that, he's going to come in here and think, give me the puck, give me the puck, give me the puck. That's not what I saw Saturday. I saw a real team player, but he had his chance, and, man, and he took it. I think he had 2 assists in the first game, so you get a point for that, you know, in the way they tally offense and stuff like that. Very unselfish player, but when he had his opportunity, he served notice that, yeah, I'm all that. Just what a shot. And then, yeah, the Arizona State students were like on him constantly, both nights. And when he hits this laser beam, it absolutely shut them up. Now, if you're not familiar, Arizona State is the Sun Devils, and their logo is like a trident. All right, it's like a fork, all right, if you're familiar with that. And so he hits his goal. He pretty much skates right over to them, and he does what's called forks down.
Yep.
He takes his fingers and straight down. That's it for you. I mean, just that's the French term, the coup de grace, right there. I mean, oh, my gosh. So, yes, promise fulfilled, but Debbie Downer here says they did get outscored in the second period 5-0 in 2 games. All right? And I'm sure Coach Gadowski and his staff, they're already talking to the guys like, first period, we were solid. Third period, we were amazing. Second period, not. So they're still teaching and all that sort of stuff, all right? But still, I didn't see ESPN still does the top 10 plays of the day or something like that. If that McKenna goal wasn't one of the top 10 plays, all right, ESPN, you stink. All right, come on, that's like an absolute gimme. Wow. And yes, the men's team is probably sold out for the rest of the season, the foreseeable future. The women aren't, and they're really good. All right, Scott here. I'm a Penn State women's hockey fan. I think those girls are great. And they're off to a 4-0 start. Very impressive. And the thing about the women's team, at least for the time being, is they don't charge for their games. You can just walk right in. And they'll welcome you, and there's plenty of seats. That shouldn't be. All right? Let's fill up Pegula for the women because they are really good. Check a schedule. Go online. Go PSUsports.com, blah, 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 and check them out. The girls are really, really good. And I'm looking forward. I don't think it's this week. Must be next week. I want to go see them play. They're really, really great. They're just fabulous. Very quickly, yes, referee controversy. Oh, geez. Okay. If you're an Eagles fan, you know what I'm talking about. The end of that game, was there pass interference? Yes, there was. And it's so obvious. And it was right in front of that ref, and he never pulled the flag out of his pocket. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? There was a ton of contact on that last long pass. If you're an Eagles fan, yes, you have a gripe. All right. Now, if you're a Penns Valley fan, yes, you have a gripe. All right. My Rams are trying to win their first game of the season Friday night, and there were not one but two instances where we're all scratching our heads like, what the heck was that? All right. Penns Valley's driving for a score in the second half. There's a play where there are penalties called on both teams, offsetting penalties. One of the penalties was an absolute late hit out of bounds. It was so obvious, it was unbelievable. So the guy in the white hat, you know, that's the referee, he motions, okay, penalty this way, all right, penalty this way, all right. I'm on the mic. I've been honored to be their announcer for years. And I say, offsetting penalties, replay the down. Then the referees start talking to each other. This is after the motion. They make the motions. They start talking to each other. And about a minute, minute and a half later, two penalties against Penns Valley. We're like, what? What? What are you talking about? Where'd that come from? You motioned. And so all of a sudden, Penns Valley's backing up. And, of course, the Penns Valley fans are outraged, like, what the heck was that? Little later on, they're driving for the clinching score. Pass to the right-hand side, definite, I mean, I'm sorry, no doubt about it, pass interference on the other team. Central was the other team. And the referee, the dude in the white hat, comes out, pass interference, defense. Now, Mr. Ironhead, you're smarter than me, okay? You're far smarter than me. Pass interference on the defense is an automatic first down, right?
Should be, yes.
Except it wasn't Friday night. It was a third down play. He motions pass interference, defense, and I'm on the mic, and I say pass interference against Central, the opponent, automatic first down. And then the referees start talking to each other again. This is after the call is made. They start talking, and this went for like 2 minutes. And we're thinking, what are they talking about? What's going on? And my one coworker is like, why aren't they resetting the first down marker? Still says third down. And apparently, I guess they changed the call so that it wasn't pass interference, but it was still third down. And we're like, and the fans are starting to scream now, like, what is going on here? And so it's still third down. Well, third down, four. They were close to the goal. They're going for the touchdown. They didn't get it. All right, fourth down, they didn't get it. Now, give Central credit. They made a great drive all the way down the field, and they score the winning touchdown with like 20 seconds left in the game. So credit to those kids. They did. They had a really nice drive down the field. But the referees... I do an announcement every game, all right? No harassment of referees, but up in the press box, we were harassing. We were. It's like, what are you doing? You made a call, you change it. Then you made a call, and you change it again? I know that high school, you know, there's a real crisis with referees in high school. There aren't enough of them.
Yeah.
In so many sports, football, soccer, probably other sports as well. I mean, it's not good. And you don't want to complain, but, oh, for goodness sakes, are you kidding me? Anyway. All right, let's take a quick break here. Yes, when we come back, we're going to talk Penn State football. We know that's what you want, okay? I've got some thoughts, not necessarily about the game. It's more about other stuff that's actually been happening since the game that has me really scratching my head. Like, what? Hold that thought.
All right. You're
listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break, and your calls, get ready. We'll be right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio. Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox. It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
Okay, who wants to go first?
You go ahead. It was exasperating. It was just tough. Again, I'm listening to the game. The Mad Turtle had a camping weekend. My original plan was I'm going to sneak away, get some stuff done at the house that needed to get done, feeding our dear axolotl Clyde and getting the cats fed and all of that.
That's his name, Clyde?
Yes, okay. Clyde Alexander Vassiri.
Wow.
That's the axolotl's name. So my original plan was I'm going to... I just have to leave at 3:15, folks, and get home and get this stuff done. And should be back, you know, probably around 7:30. Just have a feeling that's what... Well, that got changed. We got very anxiety-ridden, the Mad Turtle did, over Clyde's status. And so I ended up leaving earlier in the day to make sure the dear Clyde was... Okay, which he was. Right. But then I get back kind of mid-afternoon, and I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just listen to this. And so I did. And really, again, I'm not watching it, so maybe it's a different feeling if you're watching it. But as I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, this is awful. But really, not until that fourth down play was stuffed did I really think they were actually going to lose that game. I'm like, this is going to be embarrassing, and we're going to be like to win close and to have to pull it out the way they did. But it's like then, you know, Aller gets stuffed, and it's like, oh, my God, they are actually going to lose this game. What? All right, you go ahead.
All right. Let's mention our number, by the way, 814-954-7266. If you have a thought, this is an open line program. Perfect timing. All that hype. Oh, who was the guy back in the summer? Oh, that was me. All this hype, all the hype, oh, they're wonderful, best offensive line ever, all the backfield, all the defensive line, just top, you know, world class, oh. Yeah. Now, we can look on the bright side.
Can we?
Remember Texas? Texas, the preseason number one team in the country.
Yeah.
They've now lost two games. They lost to an unranked team.
Yeah. Not an 0-4.
Florida team that wanted to fire their coach.
Yeah.
Right before this game.
Not an
0-4. And they got bounced from the AP poll. They're gone. Arch Manning, the greatest thing ever. No. You could be a North Carolina fan. Oh, boy, are they having fun with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd love to hear the talk shows in Carolina right now. All right. They got clobbered over the weekend. So it's not like we're the only ones in the boat. I got some thought. Let's take a call here
all
first.
Right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Go ahead.
Okay, we're looking. So here we ran down these things. Best offensive line, best defensive line, best quarterback, best two running backs. What is it that we don't have the best of? Wonder what that is.
Linebackers, maybe.
Maybe somebody standing on the sideline. I was not the guru this week because I didn't predict this. I figured it was going to be pretty closer than expected, but I'm glad I didn't post a score because I don't want to be embarrassed on your show. Jeff, when did you say the first wrestling match is?
Not soon enough. November 14th against Oklahoma. But, not soon enough.
You got that part. I don't suppose we got enough rich alumni to buy out a contract, do we?
Okay.
Probably do.
All right.
Probably do.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen. Go ahead, Carl.
I'm absolutely in agreement with that. It's not going to happen, but we can always wish. Good for the young guy at UCLA, though. He couldn't have been any more excited, huh?
I tell you what, inventive play calling, seeing things as they are. This was Rick Neuheisel's kid, Jerry Neuheisel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
He was the kid. He looked like a kid. I mean, he's got his long blonde hair. He looked like he just dragged him off the beach or something like that.
Yeah.
And after the game, apparently he said that they maybe had two, maybe 3 days to put together an offensive game plan.
Yeah. He was installed on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
How about that?
In spite of what happened to us, you got to be really thrilled for the guy.
Well, they're happy in Los Angeles, yeah.
Yes, they are, yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully this is the start of a career for him. You know, he's obviously can't start out any better than he did.
Oh, my goodness. If he hasn't gotten at least one head coaching offer from someplace where he will, I'd be stunned. I mean, he proved himself one game. Look what he did. I mean, look at the game plan he put together. It was incredible. So
I think he's well on his way, obviously. And you're right. He looks like he should be playing on the junior high soccer team.
Or out with a surfboard somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Well, guys, have a good week and. Wrestling is just around the corner, Jeff, and I wanted to make a comment about your lovely wife. She's got a terrific on-air voice, and if she learns anything about wrestling, your job might be in jeopardy.
Don't I know it. Don't I know it.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Uh-oh, now you're living in fear from your spouse. Okay, I don't think that's going to happen, but anyway. 814-954-7266. Yeah, I tell you what, in no time over the weekend, first off, social media just lit up. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was, whoa. And so-called journalists didn't waste any time. So, again, a Center Daily Times story yesterday. Headline, how much is Penn State coach James Franklin's buyout? What to know? And I'm thinking, okay, that didn't take long. Then Penn Live, how much would it cost Penn State to fire James Franklin?
Mm-hmm.
That's a Penn Live story. And I think there were some other similar ones
out there,
all right? Like, holy moly. Now, for those of you that do ex-Twitter, all right, our handle, Let's Talk 987 Fox. Let's Talk 987 Fox. And I guess I'm slightly embarrassed of sorts, because apparently the Penn State Athletic Department doesn't follow us on ex-Twitter. Otherwise, they hopefully would have taken my advice that I shared yesterday morning. But let's take a call here first.
Let's do that. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning. It's Dan calling from Bowlesburg.
Howdy.
Good morning.
It's a wonderful day in Bowlesburg, despite all the other crap going on.
It is a beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
How about that weather?
Just a couple, how about that? Whether or not the weather's coming. Just a couple of thoughts I had. One, I don't understand why it's impossible to buy Franklin out. From the standpoint, it's, let's say $50 million, you borrow it, pay 6% interest, that's about $8 million a year. But if you look at the, and I say that in the context of the, you know, Pat Kraft's got a $700 million hole that he's got to fill. The value of the Penn State logo, the 31 other varsity sports, what that means, you know, there's a lot more to this than just change salary. And then the second thought I would like to pass on is, does this show you the value of the assistants and not having assistants? I mean, obviously UCLA didn't have a plethora of assistants that I understand Penn State has. So, what do you think?
Well, first off, I'd say it's not impossible for the buyout. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to do it.
Why do you say that?
Too much invested. And mid-season, I mean, that would be an amazing move if they did such a thing mid-season. All right?
Yeah, now, maybe anybody's saying mid-season, but depending on how this thing finishes up, because of the investment, I don't think you're understanding.
No.
The investment is in the program.
Right.
And the program has to succeed. And if at the end of this season, after these expectations, this program isn't meeting the expectations, I'm not saying, again, we got to see how this thing finishes up, but I'm not sure why you're so confident that there won't be a move made. I really think if they end up 8-4 or worse, not only do I think there could be, I think there will be, and I don't even think, I think it's just, to the caller's point, the financial success, the dependence of the success of the football program for the athletic department is such that I'm not sure they're going to have a choice. There will be a lot of evaluating the numbers.
Yeah, I agree
but
with that.
Man, I think there is definitely a chance that move is made.
Caller, go ahead.
Jeff, don't you think also that if you're a rising sophomore linebacker, running back, quarterback someplace, and you're being recruited by Penn State, what are you thinking today? You know, you're thinking, I'm probably not going there. So I think this is one of those situations that demands decisiveness. Make a decision today. Take your lumps in 2025. Maybe you're going to have a bad 2026. But otherwise, you're looking at a bad 28, 29, 30, 31.
Well, those are interesting thoughts. All right.
That was very diplomatic.
It is. It's a very tough spot. I'm just telling you, right at the moment, that Penn State Athletics, that Pat Kraft and company are in. Because, yes, you have made this, you know, let's be honest. I mean, this was an all-in investment in this season, setting up the potential. And even if they didn't, I mean, the debate was, all right, if they get to the Final Four and lose again there, you know, where are you at as a program? What are you thinking? It's debatable now whether this season really was worth it. And that was a debate to be had. If this team, and I guess it's not, theoretically, it's not impossible that they would get to the playoffs this season. Realistically, they're not getting to the playoffs this season. Even if they win out, even if they beat Ohio State and Indiana, this loss to UCLA on the resume is devastating. I don't, you can't overstate how impactful this loss is to the program. And so I just, because of that investment and the lack of return on the investment, I think it's got to be a very real discussion. Now, there's, again, all of that money is still tied up in terms of facilities, coaches, all of that. And, again, there's a lot of things to weigh. I know that the knee-jerk reaction is, yep, let's get rid of them. And I think it's got to be a serious consideration here, again, partly depending on how this thing plays out the rest of this season. But if you do move on, I mean, there is a segment in that locker room that is, I mean, James Franklin is the reason they're here and these coaches. And so, you know, do you... if you're Pat Kraft, again, you've got to have a real feel for this. All right, is this something that is salvageable? Can they get back to the playoffs next year if we keep Franklin? Or do you say, yep, it is time to part ways, this isn't happening, and then that next hire, if that is the direction they go, you talk about crucial, because if you miss on that one, I'm telling you, fans... this is just the era we're in. And you know, Penn State is trying to capitalize just like everybody else out there. So this isn't a Penn State thing. This is a big-time program thing. But you happen to be asking fans, hey, you got to pony up a little more here. A little more, a little more, a little more. And fans are like, all right, well, we're winning. Wait, we could be, we're building to a national championship team this year. All right. Well, now... we lost to a winless football team, and you want me to pay how much to, and you're building these new luxury suites, and oh yeah, we just needed to cough up $500,000 to $1 million a season for the right to have the box and the opportunity to purchase the tickets for the box.
Yeah, I've never understood that.
Now, you're telling me nobody's going to pause here. Well, wait a second. And, you know, maybe you get the higher right and, Penn State takes that next step and all of this. But if they take a step back and this is a program that goes from being definitively top 10, which it has been under James Franklin, to maybe top 20, I'm telling you, this becomes, we are in a crucial upcoming year. I'm going to go from here on for the program and for the athletic department.
All right, caller, go ahead real quick.
To your point, if it's a crucial year, cut the cord now, take the rest of the season with your assistant coaches, let them do it, and take that time to evaluate and get the next coach you're going to get. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for
the phone call.
814-954-7266. Now,
what a difference 2 weeks makes.
Yeah, really. Now, one thing to keep in mind, they've only played five games. They have seven more to go. Now, if, and after Saturday, it's a gigantic if, they could somehow run the table and win those last seven games, they're 10-2. And I think, well, two of those wins would be against Ohio State and Indiana. They're in the playoff. They would climb back up again and have enough, barely, to get in?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't. The resume, the ding to the resume that this loss has is just,
okay.
It is huge.
Now, you were the guy that last week you said, hey, last year Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, that was the first game of the season.
Yeah.
Not the fifth. Little difference there, but they bounced back and played for the national championship last year.
Yeah.
So
they didn't have a second ding.
That is true.
Let's take a call. That's what is the crusher. And that second dig is a home loss. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. Hey, just before everybody jumps off the top of Beaver Stadium, Jeff, I know this will be dear and dear to your heart. What did you think about Bassett and Miller's decision to go to Virginia Tech?
Yeah, not all that shocking, and we're just, again, we're in an era where there's different kids are looking for different things, and I am not faulting anybody for going anywhere. Again, there's a lot of great coaches out there. Yes, I think Cale Sanderson and this staff, I think it's the best that's ever been assembled in college wrestling, and I understand, I mean, there are some great coaches, legendary coaches in the sport. I'm just telling you the overall approach, their eye for recruiting, their ability to develop the whole thing, their attention to detail. I have never seen anything like it in any sport, and certainly not in wrestling. So I genuinely think this staff is just does it everything as well as a staff can do it. But again, there's a lot of great staffs out there, and there are, you know, financial considerations now. And I don't fault anybody for making decisions, whatever. And I'm not saying this was solely financially motivated. I don't know. I don't know the details. I've seen some of the stuff that's being said out there, and I have no idea. I have no direct knowledge, and so I don't know. I think it's great for Virginia Tech. I think it is, a splash recruiting hit for them. I think Penn State will be just fine. Penn State is recruiting at a pretty high clip itself. And I think for the foreseeable future, Penn State is certainly going to be right there, in the mix for national titles. But I think Oklahoma State is coming. I think David Taylor and that staff has a great approach. I think Iowa and Ohio State have very good programs. Nebraska is doing an incredible job right now. I think it's good for the sport that you have all of these teams, all of these names. Hey, look at us, look at us. I think that's great. I really do. I think it's great for the sport. And I think, again, from Penn State's perspective, it's hard to be hitting the panic button when you have a program that is on target for a fifth straight national title as a team, and that has hit as many home runs on the recruiting front as Penn State has over these last couple of years.
Anything else, caller?
I kind of agree with you. I mean, I'm a major wrestling fan, and I enjoy going to wrestling matches, but again, I do like to see competitive matches. So some of these kids go on to other schools, and then we schedule them, and I want to win, but I want to win watching good, solid wrestling.
All right, very good.
I think across the board, the hope is that you get offensive-oriented matches, going back to our discussion with Eric Brugel and claw wrestling, which will be getting underway here. The matches will be sent out here starting to be streamed at the end of this month. I think, again, it's more to me about the style of wrestling than anything else. And I think we're seeing more kids, more really good kids coming out of high school, not just trying to win, but trying to score a lot of points and put on a show for the fans. And certainly Melvin Miller and Bo Bassett fall into that category. No question about that.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll have a few more minutes of open time. Again, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us in about 15 minutes or so. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. I got one thing to share, which is totally befuddling. We'll do that when we come back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and a little open phone time here for about 5 minutes, and then Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will probably weigh in on the game as well, but we'll try to talk all things weather for the final segment. How about that weather, Gazy?
Yeah, great.
How about that weather?
Great weather, yes. It's the only weather we got. All right, there we go. It's after the game that made me angry. All right. Again, ex-Twitter. I put on a post yesterday morning from Let's Talk 987 Fox, and I said some suggestions for the Penn State team. Go radio silent this week. Just nothing. All right. Their media availability. That's today, right? Mondays.
Yes.
All right. Used to be Tuesdays in the old days. Now it's Mondays. Maybe
James Franklin's available.
Right, right. Maybe the coach comes out, makes a couple brief comments, gets up and leaves, no questions. Okay, guys, sorry, that's it for today. Nobody else is going to talk. Practices closed to the media this week. Go absolutely radio silent. No social media posting. Not one post by anybody. Coaches, players, whatever. Nothing. Send the message that, okay, we realize what happened on Saturday, and we're going to work our butts off to make sure that doesn't happen again. Now, I'd love to say, I mean, does that sound like common sense advice? I think it is. But there it was last night, and when I saw this, I'm like, I can't believe this. Now, this is allegedly from the coaches, Coach Franklin's ex-Twitter account. I really do wonder, does he actually do that, or does somebody do that for him? I'm going to desperately hope that it was a misguided sports information person that maybe did it for him. But there's a post last night about 8 o'clock. All right. I was so incensed by this, I copied the post. It says, "Game week. Let's do this together and go 1-0, Nittany Nation. Northwestern, Northwestern, Northwestern. Hashtag we are." Now, if that actually came from the coach, this is the epitome of tone deaf. All right? If the coach actually put that out there, he really is in just goofy land or something, dreamland. Because my thought was, no, do not do the 1-0 crap. Don't do the Northwestern, dude. No. Put that where the sun doesn't shine. Okay? Figure that out on your own. No. Fans do not want rah-rah anymore. Enough with the rah-rah. What they want is they want results. And something that shows that, yeah, this team really is sort of as good as what they were hyped up to be. Take the rah-rah and just shove it. And this post shows up last night. I'm like, I can't believe it. And it was immediately roasted on social media. Oh, it was just roasted last night and probably into this morning. Like, what on earth? No. Here, I'm going to help out Penn State again. All right, because I'm a helpful guy, and I'm a fan.
You're just here to help.
I'm here to help. Here's what they need to do. I'm assuming they have a practice today. They would have a practice today, right? I don't know the practice schedule. I have no idea if it's today or tomorrow, whatever it is. Next practice. Sports Information Department, here's what you do. Find, and again, we don't have newspapers anymore, so you're going to have to do printouts. Find all of the hype stories from the last several months, and make printouts. Make lots and lots of printouts. Yes, you're going to sacrifice some trees. Get over it, okay? Make lots and lots of printouts of all these glowing stories. Oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, and best ever, blah, blah, all this. Make lots and lots of copies. Take them to the practice. Hand the copies out to everybody, all the players, coaches. Hand them all out. Hey, here's what people have been saying about us. All right, here we go. And then somebody, I don't know, somewhere in the facility, somebody safely start a fire. I don't know, maybe a burn barrel or something, start a fire. And everybody tosses those stories into the bonfire. Big bonfire. Safely. All right, do it safely. With the idea that all of that crap from the last bunch of months is worthless. If you guys thought you were all that and you just had to walk on the field at the Rose Bowl and automatically win, now we know that's not true. All right? Burn all those press clippings. Burn them. Burn them to the ground. And then, okay, we need to go back to basics and realize we're not all that. And if we're going to be successful, we need to bust our tails. I was reminded of a line. Lots of coaches have used this line for years and years and years. The line is, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work very hard. That's what happened at the Rose Bowl Saturday afternoon. Hard work beat talent. You can't tell me UCLA is a more talented team. They're not. But boy, they sure look like it, didn't they? All right. They worked their tails off for, what, 3 days, 4 days last week to get ready for the game, and it worked. Maybe you bench a few guys and start some younger guys. Joe Paterno tried that maneuver back in, what, 1967? Because he had a program that was, 500. And he benched some veteran players, brought in new players, and as they say, that the rest is history. I don't know, maybe that's what needs to happen. But this week, this team needs to go radio silent, absolutely nothing. Yeah, homecoming week, go figure. Nothing. And then they show up to play on Saturday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's see if that occurs or if the tone deafness continues.
We will not go radio silent. How about that weather? Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, up next.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. Happy Valley Comic Con.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk on a Monday morning. Hey, how about that weather? Huh?
How about that
weather? I mean, come on,
kids. Look at that sunshine. Wow.
What else are we going to talk about on a Monday morning? Joe Mastardi, WeatherBell.com, kind enough to join us. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a great weekend.
Oh, and, how could we not have had a great weekend, Joe? What could possibly have gotten in the way from us enjoying every moment of the weekend?
It was such a beautiful weekend.
It really was. Yeah, gorgeous.
It was. You know, I got to tell you something. There were two times where I almost had such anxiety over football that it almost took me down. And both times, I mean, the A&M Alabama game on the road in Alabama. I was at that game at Bryan Denny Stadium, and I was so nervous. And it was a bonehead call by Jimbo. Instead of, you know, the Aggies were running the ball down Alabama's throat. They had 4th and 2 with 7 seconds left in the game on the road. Now, this is not the game A&M won at Kyle Field. On the road, and instead of, the old Joe Paterno, God bless Joe, he used to say, well, you know, there comes a time in the fourth quarter. Were you going to line up and say, I'm coming, you stop me, right? And, you know, what they did, the classic, let's try to trick them. And what happened was the ball fell short. Well, anyway, I looked at it as one of these things where I was in the stands and I was going, well, that was a very noble attempt. Like they hung with Alabama on the road, okay? But when I stood up to leave and I was completely sober, I couldn't believe I had to have my son literally escort me out of the stadium because I was trembling so bad. I didn't realize how nervous I was. And I was driving back from Rhode Island this weekend listening to the ball game on the UCLA network, KABC, I guess it is, because that's what that's what I could pick up on. But it's a good thing I didn't listen to Steve and Jack. They must have been out of their minds. But it was really interesting listening to the UCLA color commentator commenting on what was going on with that. But I was so nervous at the end of the game, and I go, okay, well, it's, you know, fourth and two. What's the classic thing to do here? Well, you either give it to Catron, or you just throw a slant, like Michigan. Remember when Michigan would do that to us? It's fourth and two. They just slant over the middle, pop. You got a 6'5" quarterback. And, of course, that didn't happen. I couldn't figure out. You start from a shotgun anyway, so you got 2 yards to go. You're six yards back off there. But, you know, when you look at it, it was four really big broken plays that got us. And I got to tell you, folks, I'm sorry I'm bending like this, but Neuheisel, the name Neuheisel, has always tortured me. He tortured the Aggies when he was at Colorado. You folks got to understand. I mean, you know, and the reason why I can take some of the things I'm going on is I have what's called battered Aggie syndrome. Because for 65 years now of my life.
That's BAS, so, you know, battered Aggie syndrome. Huh? He has BAS. So, all right, go ahead.
So a lot of you Penn State fans, because of the high expectations, have started to get, you know, battered Nittany Lion syndrome, and I understand that. I sort of have it. But remember, football to me, from when I was here, was always a warm-up for wrestling. You know, I was on the wrestling team, and Jimmy Earle and I, we loved football because we would sell programs in the parking lot before the game. And then, you know, when the game was going on, we were always in the wrestling room working out Saturday afternoon. So, I didn't pay that. I love football, but it wasn't like, you know, I'm a wrestler, so I'm, you know, into what's going on with wrestling. And you got to realize that football is the season that gets us to wrestling.
True enough.
That's the prime function of football. So let's all calm down and get ready for a great indoor sports season. As far as the nice weather goes, it's probably going to continue. Well, it is going to continue much of this week, at least overall. I mean, there are some flies in the ointment, some bugs in the weather rug. We are going to get a front that comes into the area later tomorrow night into Wednesday morning. It's going to cause some showers. And so that's going to come through. So we get some rainfall. And what's interesting is over the weekend, we're going to get a storm to develop down off Florida. And, you know, whether this thing gets classified as a tropical feature or not, you know, the Carolinas have just taken an absolute beating this year from these offshore storms, and this is probably going to be another one that is going to really blast them, and its rain shield is probably going to get back here later Sunday and Monday. We're probably going to get some rain from it as it tries to come up the coast. I've been doing, you know, a lot of look at this winter, and there's some fascinating things going on, folks. We had a major southern hemisphere stratospheric warming event go on in September this year. And all the five stratospheric warming events in the southern hemisphere over the South Pole, 2013, 2014, 2017, 2019, and most recently last year, have produced colder than normal winters in the United States. Conversely, when it's cold over the stratosphere in September in the southern cold in the stratosphere in the southern hemisphere in September, it's the opposite. Our five warmest winters have occurred. So, you know, as you put together the winter forecast, and I got this idea from an outfit that I look at in Europe called Severe Weather Europe, I believe they're called. They're an outstanding bunch of meteorologists over there that blog. And if you're into the weather, it's a good site to look at. You know, I always promote our site, but if someone's real, real good, I promote their site too. And they put that idea in my head. So what happens is I go and look at it, and I go, well, wait a minute. It's not just one or two. What we have is what we call an analog, where, okay, an analog is, it occurred before, we've got five samples of it, it should occur again. But we also have the anti-log. In other words, when the opposite happens, the opposite occurred. And what happens is if you flip the anti-log, you can make it, an analog. In other words, you go, okay, well, we have the opposite of this, so let's expect the opposite to occur. So it's saying that it should be a colder than normal winter, December, January, and February. I do want to point out that we are now, for the fall season, running pretty far above normal here. So the idea, you know, one morning you brought up some forecast, I guess it was back in late August, well, we're going to have a cool fall. It certainly started a bit cooler than normal, but what has happened so far has turned it warmer than normal. And we are overall warmer than normal here probably for the next 10 to 15 days. But after that, later October into November, we may have some pretty cold weather for this time of the year starting to show up during that time. So very, very interesting pattern. You know, the greatest thing about, the global warming, whatever you want to call it, whoever's causing it. I see the Pope is blessing blocks of ice now. I go to three or four different churches. I go to OLV. Father George was not blessing blocks of ice. Let me assure local Catholic parishioners there was no blocks of ice blessed in church this weekend. I didn't see any. But in any case, I was looking at that, and you know, I'd like to advise the Pope. Do you know that the Arctic sea ice this year, all right, ran above the last 20 years. It's running above the average for the century, the Arctic sea ice. So here he is, I can only imagine that if you're going to bless a block of ice now with Arctic ice on the increase, my gosh, you know, who knows where we're going if that blessing is going to work. In 15 years, you know, the entire North Atlantic might be covered with ice. You gotta be careful what you wish for over here with that kind of situation. But I gotta beg, of course, when something like that happens, every one of the people I know, did you see this? Isn't this outrageous? I go, yeah. I wasn't there dancing around with Gaia. Like, but what was funny was after it was done, they had some, I don't know what they were. I guess they were all dancing, people dancing around the ice and all this. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess that's out of above my pay grade, you know. It's one of those inexplicable things. It's sort of like football, you know. Football and blessing Arctic sea ice can be very, very puzzling to people. Now, do you have any questions that are relevant to what I'm supposed to be doing here? You know, I have to apologize because I got to go work out. I don't take a lot of caffeine or anything like that, but I start getting fired up to work out when I'm talking to you guys. And so, you know, it's like Bob Dylan's stream of consciousness lyrics. Whatever comes into my head will come out of my mouth. There's no filter. So you ask me a question, and maybe I can give you an answer.
Well, Joe, I had an observation earlier in the show. Over the weekend, I saw some weather prediction map, about snow this winter, and right here where we are, middle of PA, it said 39 inches of snow. All right. Now, from what you just said about maybe a colder winter, 39 inches of snow, that seems to go together. What do you think there?
Well, that sounds like our forecast we put out in August for near normal snowfall here.
Okay.
Above normal northwest of here. So we have above normal for a bunch of western Pennsylvania and the northern plains, and it goes with the whole idea. Now, last winter was colder than normal, but we had half the normal amount of snowfall. Right? So, you know, just because it's colder than normal doesn't mean the snow has to be above normal, but there should be. Last year was really interesting how storms really danced around us. So, you know, you would think that that's not going to happen two winters in a row, but, you know, sometimes things like that do have a very, very unusual winter. Usually when you get those winters where there are only 17, 18 inches or 20 inches of snow here, they're usually quite warm. Right. Last year was colder than normal as far as the winter goes. And it was a reason, too, that we had, you know, a lot of the frozen ground so late into the season because there was no snow cover to try to insulate the ground. So and my take on cold weather without snow, it's just like useless. It's hot. It stinks because if the air's so dry, you go into the gym, you go to pick up a dumbbell, and you get electric shock. It's like you have shock therapy when you're lifting because the air is so dry in the gym, and that's because the air is so dry outside. But, you know, I try not to comment on other forecasts because inevitably if I comment negatively, I turn out wrong. I've noticed on the internet that when people come slam me about my forecast, I just keep my head down, just be a nice guy, and usually turns and goes the other way. So I try to resist the idea of comment. Of course, I have to say that's pretty close to what we have this year. We have near normal snowfall. I guess the mean of the last 20 years is around 40 inches.
All right, we got about 30 seconds. I think it was Wyoming. I saw a college football game where it was snowing in Wyoming. I mean, is that supposed to snow?
Yeah, that's not unusual.
Okay, I was going to say that's not unusual for them. No.
Oh, okay, get back to the Aggies in '94 when the Aggies were hyped to like win the national title or whatever. They had a foot of snow in Boulder, Colorado, 2 days before September football game, which Colorado, of course, would, under Neuheisel, beat the Aggies and completely you know, I know the weather event for almost every football game when it's going to snow. So, no, that's not unusual at all. It should be snowing in Wyoming. Austin Hoops, he was a wrestler here at Penn State years ago. He lived in Wyoming. I believe he came from Wyoming. He told me there was a July 4th he woke up, and they lived up at 7,000-8,000 feet. He said there was 4 inches of snow on the ground. Of course, it was gone by noon, but, I mean, you know, it could snow in those mountains. And what was it? Laramie, I guess it was.
Yeah.
That's way up in the air.
Well, what should they do with that weather no matter what, Joe?
Well, you should probably call some kind of quarterback draw. Now, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
And we will be back tomorrow morning.